Good morning to you all. Once again, the Lord has given us an opportunity to hear from the Word of God. Today, we will look into a portion from the New Testament, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. You know that all the scripture of God is inspired by God, and it is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instructions in righteousness. Now this chapter is specially spoken by the Lord. I have got the red letter edition, and then most of the sentences are in red letter. So this chapter is mostly spoken by our Lord Jesus. This Luke chapter 16, here Jesus tells about the love of money and its devastating effects. The first portion, the first paragraph, Jesus tells about tells a parable of the unfaithful or shrewd steward. He was not faithful in the mammon or money he was entrusted with. We should be faithful in the money we are entrusted with. Money is not ours, it is Lord's money. It is only entrusted to us. We are only stewards. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We should be faithful in everything what we are in, the Lord has entrusted to us. The first paragraph, the first parable about that unfaithful steward, that the Lord says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? The next two verses, that is 14 to 16, Jesus addresses the Pharisees, who were lovers of money. They counted riches as very esteemed thing. But Jesus says, the riches which are highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The Lord does not give any importance to the riches of this world. We see a young man came to Jesus in chapter 18. In chapter 18, we see a young man came to the Lord. Then what the Lord tells him, sell all you have and distribute to the poor. And he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. The Lord also says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man enter the kingdom of God. So that indicates when a person is rich and self-sufficient, it is very difficult to realize his need for a savior. So that is why Jesus said it is difficult, it is more difficult than the camel going through the eye of the needle. Then verse 18, about divorce, he says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. This is also connected with money. We can think like this, because the rich people may be divorcing their wives because they had enough money. They write a divorce letter and give it to them and send them away. So, Pharisees, they were deriding him. In verse 14 we see, now the Pharisees who were lovers of money also heard these things and they derided him. To them Jesus says, whatever is highly esteemed among men, verse 15, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So whatever is highly esteemed, what is highly esteemed among men? There is only riches, the money. Whoever is very rich, he will be highly esteemed. People give honor to them, honor to him. But Lord says, it is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. Then verse 19 to 31, he gives we cannot say it is a parable, it may be a real story about the rich man and the beggar named Lazarus. So let us see what we can learn from these portions in the story of the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. First reading of this paragraph by a layman may think that all rich people will go to hell and poor and suffering may go to heaven. For going to heaven, you may have to become a beggar. Or if you have got sores, it is still better. If dogs are coming and licking the sores, it is still better. You will go to heaven. It is not like that. Begging, in Hinduism there is a concept that begging will give you heaven. Some people, when they are getting old, they go to a holy place named Varanasi in India and do begging, mostly widows. They spend their lives there and they die there. So it is not like that. All rich people are not going to hell. All poor beggars will go to heaven. It is not like that. Jesus is not saying that. But from here we can learn, here there was a certain rich man. No name is given. But for the beggar, the name is given. Beggar named Lazarus. We know that when you are saved, your names will be written in heaven. Then only you will get an entity in heaven. Till such time, you will be a certain man. You can say a certain man from Regina or a certain man from India. You will not get an entity. But when you are saved, when you are a child of God, then you get an entity and your name is written in heaven. Then only Lord considers you. In Luke chapter 10, Lord sends some 70 disciples to the villages and they went, and then when they came back, they are very happy. They said, even the evil spirits obey us. But the Lord said, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That is the most important thing. Your names are written in heaven. Here, Lazarus' name was written in heaven. So, here the Lord mentions Lazarus' name. The rich man's name is not mentioned. During those periods, rich man may be very famous. His name was very famous, but the Lord says a certain rich man, Lazarus' name is mentioned. Another point we can note here is Lazarus was a just man. He was a righteous man, but he had to suffer. He had a lot of suffering. He had a lot of pain and humiliation. Why? We do not know. When the disciples asked Jesus about a blind man, saying, "What is it? Was it due to his own sins or due to the sins of his parents?" Then Jesus replied, "Neither, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." So we don't know. We may be having suffering. We may be having persecutions. We can't ask why, Lord. But it may be that the works of God should be revealed in us. Moreover, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That is also there. So, don't be amazed if we have to suffer physical pains or persecution. It is a part of our life. Our Lord may be having special interest in that. So, don't be amazed. Another thing we can learn from here is that death is a common factor. Everybody will have to die. The rich will die and the poor will die. In Hebrews we read in chapter 9 verse 27, it is appointed for men to die once and after this the judgment. So, once to die, that is a common factor, everybody will die. Only one life is there, no rebirth as man or animal. But in Hinduism, when a person dies, he takes rebirth as a man or animal according to his deeds or karma. In this life, he will take rebirth, and after many such cycles, he will merge with the Supreme God. That is the teaching in the Hinduism. But here, we can understand from the word of God, rather by the word of Lord Jesus Christ, that there is no rebirth. It is only one life, and then the judgment. Only one life, and it will end soon. That is why the psalmist in Psalm 90 verse 10 to 12 says, so teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. We have to remember that our days are short and that will end soon. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we read, better to go to the house of the mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. So we should count our days, and we should take it to our heart that will be our end. One day we also have to pass from this earth like that. And another thing we can learn from here, the Lord Jesus wants to teach us, is that death is not the end of man. There is life after death. That life is eternal, never ending. You have to spend this life either in heaven or in hell. That is also a reality. Heaven is a place of comfort and hell is a place of torment. Because here in verse 25, we read, he is comforted and you are tormented. You see that he is tormented in flame. So, hell is a place of torment. Heaven is a place of comfort. Also, we can learn from here, we see from here that those who are in hell, in the tormenting place, have a good long sight. Isn't it? Yeah. He, verse 23, and being in torment, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. They can clearly see those who are in heaven. No binoculars is required, no telescope is required. He can see very clearly what is going on in heaven. In Luke chapter 13, verse 28, we read, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourself thrust out. Here the rich man might have seen Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and all other prophets he might have seen, but here it is mentioned that he has seen the rich man. You must have seen the others also. And in hell, there is always this gnashing of teeth, the sound will be there. That also is to be noted. Those who are in heaven, whether they can see those who are in hell, it is not very clear from this portion. Those who are in heaven, can they see those who are in hell? Some Bible scholars say that when we are in heaven, we will not be able to see our relatives or our dear ones in hell. Suppose our very close relative, our near dear wife or husband or children, they are not saved, they are in hell. So when they are in hell and torment, under torment, how this person can remain in heaven without any weeping, without any grief? So they say, even the memory of our near and dear ones will be removed from us when we reach heaven, so that we will not see, we will not remember about our very near and dear ones in hell. I don't know, anyway, that is not a very important subject. But what we know is that there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, there shall be no pain in heaven. Also, another thing we can learn from here is that the riches cannot take a man to heaven. The rich man is very rich, but his riches could not take him to heaven. In chapter 12, Lord Jesus says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." He spoke a parable also about a man whose field has produced much. Also he said, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet to forfeit his soul?" So the riches of a person cannot take him to heaven. Also in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read, "Love of money is the root of all evil." We should examine our lives in this light of this. Another thing to note is that the rich man is calling Abraham, verse 24, Abraham, father Abraham. And in return, Abraham is also calling him son. Abraham is not telling that, don't call me father, you are in hell. Just don't call me father. It is not there. He is calling Abraham father, father Abraham. Abraham is also calling him son. That man is a son of Abraham. He is a descendant of Abraham. Abraham is his forefather. He is an Israelite. But now he is in hell. So we can learn from this that your heritage cannot take you to heaven. If your father and forefather are saved, you cannot go to heaven on that account. You have to personally have a relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, your heritage cannot take you to heaven. If your father is a saved person, on that basis, you cannot be saved. That is why it is said that God has only sons and daughters, not grandsons and granddaughters. God has only sons and daughters, only direct relation, not as a group or as a tribe. Salvation is personal, not as a family or a tribe. Some people rely on the on Acts chapter 16 verse 31, the Philippian jailer's story. Apostle Paul says, "Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and you and your household." So on that basis, you cannot say that all the household will go to heaven if the head of the family is saved. That is not correct. Because the next verse we can see, "Then they spoke the word of God to the Lord, to him and to all who were in the house." That means all those who were in the house were grown up people. So you should have a personal relationship with God to go to heaven. In Romans chapter 9 verse 6 to 8, "For they are not all Israel who are Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham." He very clearly mentioned that all they are not Israel. They are not all Israel who are Israel. Nor are they all children because they are seed of Abraham. Unless you have a personal relationship, you will not go to heaven. So here this rich man is asking Abraham one or two things. That one thing is that he should send Lazarus to the hell with some water. And Abraham says it is not possible. Then he says Lazarus should be sent to the world so that he had five brothers, they will repent. So for that he explains. Then it is interesting to note about what the rich man is not asking Abraham. Let us consider that also. Rich man is not asking Abraham, father, what sin I have committed to deserve this punishment. Naturally, he could have asked, what sin I have committed? I have not committed any murder. I have not committed any adultery. He is not raising any such questions. That means, those who are going to hell, when they reach there, they will be fully convinced about their sin or why they reached there. Nobody need to tell him. Everything will be clear, everything will be crystal clear. The rich man here says, no, Father Abraham, in verse 30, no, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. So he knows that the need of repentance is there. That his five brothers, they will also come here if they don't repent. So it is very clear to him that the repentance is there, and I did not repent, so I am here. So there is no need to explain to them why you are here, why you are in hell. He is not asking why I am here. It is all very clear to them. And in the we can think the other way also, those who are in heaven also, there to them also everything will be clear when they get reward. You will not say, Lord, I have got only this much reward. I was an elder there. You are giving me only this much. You see that sister there, she was only making coffee and she got a bigger reward. Or see the other person who was not coming even to the church assembly regularly, he got a bigger reward. No, you will not ask because everything will be clear. Everything will be crystal clear and no need of any explanation why you have got little reward or very little reward. Or those who are in hell, why they are in hell, there is no need to explain to them. In Philippians chapter 2 we read, in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. At that time nobody need to tell them, oh, this is Jesus, see, this is Jesus, see his hands, see his feet. No need to introduce Jesus like that. It will be very clear to them. Another thing the rich man is not requesting is, he is not requesting his brothers to pray for him. See, he is not requesting his brothers to pray for him. In many denominational churches, they do many things for the dead. Some people observe a period of Lent, that means involving temporary abstention from certain foods and pleasures, and offering prayers for the dead. In our country, I have seen many people, they burning incense and lighting candles at the grave, or doing special prayers at the church for the dead. But here the rich man, it is very clear to him that nothing can be done now. Nothing can be done now. There is no need of any prayers. His brothers need not pray for him. He knows that. It's very clear to him. And also he is not asking for any some more time or one more chance. Lord Abraham, Father Abraham, give me another one more month, at least a few weeks give me, I will live a good life. No, it is not there, only one chance. In 2 Corinthians 6, 2 we read, behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, only one time is there, only one life is there. If you don't be saved, then it will be as per Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We see many wall hangings in our homes, good verses we write and keep, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, like that. And this verse we can, I think, we are not, I have not seen this verse as a wall hanging. The harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. We have not repented, that can be, repentance is required for all. So there is no second chance. In Psalm 2 we read, so kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. So when there is time, you kiss the Son. And another thing is that there is a gulf fixed there. No freedom of travel from heaven to hell or vice versa, and from there to earth also. From the dead, nobody can come to this world. Only one person who came back after death is our Lord Jesus Christ. But now there are many people who claim that they speak to the spirits of the dead. In our country, we know that several people are there. They claim that they can speak to the spirits of the dead, and they speak many things very correctly also. But these are all the works of demons. The demon may speak the same voice of the dead man. I heard that. I witnessed that. They speak of the same voice of the dead man. Man may be dead many years back, but the same voice the demon speaks. These are all deceptions. Another point to note here is that, verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Abraham is referring to the Old Testament. Old Testament canon is completed by about 400 BC. The Old Testament is available to them, that is the five brothers. Let them obey them. They should live according to the given revelation. The criteria for salvation for people lived in different ages or dispensations may be different. But the basis for remission of sins will always be the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We may think, what will happen to them, those who lived prior to the Old Testament, those who never heard the gospel? People in the Old Testament were saved by believing whatever revelation the Lord gave them. Abraham, for example, was saved by believing whatever God told him. Abraham did not know about what would take place at Calvary even centuries later. He could not even imagine that the Almighty God would take the form of a man and die on the cross of Calvary. He never imagined that. But when Abraham believed God, whatever God has commanded him, God put into Abraham's account the remission of sins available through the death of Christ. So for every period, God gives a criteria, obey whatever revelations given to them and they will be saved. But their remission of sins will be based on the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So we need not worry about those who have never heard the gospel, or those who are living in the Amazon forest. So we don't have to worry about it. Lord has got his own ways. Even if they have not had any word of God, then the unwritten word of God, the nature is there. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. One more point I want to point out in verse 25. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things." In your lifetime you received your good things. Note the word your good things, and Lazarus evil things. The things which you considered as good, the things for which you have gave all your life, the things which you gave all priority, the things which you enjoyed, things which were close to your hearts, the things you valued most, these things you got. Consider what are our good things. A good wife, good children, good job, good car. Are we considering these as good things? In Psalm 92 verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. So are we considering it as a good thing to come to the assembly hall to worship the Lord along with the saints on Sunday morning? Or are we considering it good to work on a Sunday because of the double salary? What all things we consider it as good? What God can wipe out our extra income with one stroke, that we have to remember. King Jehoshaphat is 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 35 to 37. King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who was wicked. And they made ships to go to Tarshish for business. The Lord said to Jehoshaphat, "Because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works." Then the ships were wrecked so that they were not able to go to Tarshish. So whatever money we make without remembering our Lord, Lord can wipe it out in a stroke. So let us consider these things. Riches cannot take you to heaven because beware of covetousness. The love of money is the root of all evil. You should be faithful in the mammon we are entrusted with. One who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Rich man's name is not mentioned, but beggar Lazarus' name is mentioned. If you are saved, when you are saved, your name will be written in heaven, then you will have an entity with God. Lazarus was a righteous man, but he had to suffer. It is the Lord's will. Death is a common factor, teach us to number our days. There is life after death, that is heaven or hell, and they are reality. It is not fiction, it is reality. This man is calling Abraham father, and Abraham is calling him son. He is a descendant of Abraham, but he is in hell. Our heritage will not take us to heaven. God has no grandchildren. God has sons and daughters. The rich man is quite aware of his sins and the need of repentance. And why he is in hell, he knows very much. It is very clear to them, clear to him. There is no use of praying for the dead. There is only one life and there is no second chance. it is appointed to man once to die and then judgment. They have Moses and the prophets. People in Old Testament and in different ages, they are saved by believing whatever revelation the Lord has given to them. The rich man has received in his lifetime, received his good things. What are our good things? What are the things we consider good? So may the study of this word of God may help us to lead a spiritual life in the coming days. May the name of the Lord be glorified.